pray so that God's plan will unfold for the house of the Lord and the people. Was what you quoted from. And it's really the Lord's praying out for us. And it stresses I and him and him and me. And it goes on deeper levels and deeper levels of the unity between the Father and the Son in his creation of us. And so this afternoon I was pressed to read it again. And go into the Amplified, and in the Amplified, it points out, you know, very, very clearly that harmony between him and us is so intense, and we really need to awaken to that truth. And I said, Lord, you know, what are you trying to tell me? And I know it was personal, but it also functions for the body. Because if you look at what he is praying, and in one section he says, I'm not praying for them to be taken out of the world. So think about that with the traditions of men and what people teach. If he's not praying for the saints of that day not to be taken out of the world, then where in the world did all these ideas come from? And the theology that goes with it. So I would caution you to trust the Holy Spirit and how he thinks and how he acts and reacts with his creation. In Romans 8, he says very, very clearly, all of creation is crying out for the sons of God. Now, if the whole of creation and all the animals, which the parade, by the way, is cool because it's got animals in it. Yes! One of my first loves was a pooch. Okay? I mean, you know, that pooch was my best friend. I mean, I cried with that pooch. I mean, you know, I wasn't allowed to take it in bed, but I think there might have been a few times that, you know, she got away with it. She was my first girlfriend, in case you didn't realize that. She was faithful. But what I'm trying to tell you is don't buy religious tradition. Don't buy it. Go to the Lord and say, what about your idea of what you want in this end time? The scripture also says, and the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God. The kingdoms of this world will be taken over by the kingdom of God. It's going to transition. Jesus went to the mountain of transfiguration. He was transfigured. He was changed. Well, what about it? Is he an example of your future? Is he the pattern son? Is he the first of many brothers? Romans 8 again. You know, and there's a pattern of self-destruction that goes on in the body of Christ with religious thinking and religious stinking. I've got an S-T-I-N-G. Okay? It stinks. It brings the people into self-condemnation constantly, and they're constantly crying out, God, clean me up. You know what? He already did it. Did he die on a cross for you? Do you want him to die again? Then shut up and start celebrating your life. He's already cleaned you up. You can lay down on that carpet for 30 years and cry out, forgive me! And you know what he's going to say? Nothing. It's already done.
and you're crying out for something that's already complete. Oh, you say it feels good to cry. Yeah, it gives you an emotional high. You walk out of there and you go right back out to the same old garbage doing the same thing again tomorrow. And then you go back to the same rug and cry again. Isn't that a wonderful religious formula? No kidding. And you know what? His love never fails. Go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 11, love one another. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. So there's going to be what? A pattern here. It's a religious pattern. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Did you hear that? Anyone who does not love remains in death. When you don't love yourself, what are you doing? Whose covenant are you into? Death. So as you continue to hate yourself because of your weakness, God says, I already took care of it. Would you just go on from there? Would you start celebrating life? And I know I'm preaching. But you know what? If I can get this piece of truth inside of you, like I'm trying to get it inside of me, then we're going to be a different church. And those fruit are going to blossom. And they will ripen. But we cannot walk around with a defeated attitude and a self-hatred attitude. If Jesus already completed the task, what are you trying to help him out for? Look at your neighbor. Say, Jesus did it. 2,000 years ago, he did it. It's a done deal. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. So when you see the bigotry and the self-hatred and the hatred of their brother, well, my church is the best. Are you kidding? If your church is the best, you're already in hatred for those who aren't part of who you are. That is not love. That's murder. And if you think I'm being rough, check the word. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Are we willing right now to lay down our life for our Catholic friends? Yes. That's the priesthood. Are you willing to pray and intercede for the bishops and their committees? Yes. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Do they not declare that they are born again? Yes, they do. If they do declare it, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says they are. Okay? Have they got the next level of revelation? Maybe some, and maybe not. But it's our job to intercede for them so that they will come to life. Not to criticize them and bury them alive. And then say, I'm a part of a Holy Ghost church. Well, yeah, right. Is it the Holy Ghost that's talking to you? If anyone has material possession and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions in truth. You don't have to be pushing yourself to do this work. All you need to do is hear from the Lord. And when the Lord says, do this, it doesn't have to be an issue of $50,000. It can be an issue of a nickel. Okay? It can be a $5 bill at the right place at the right time to change a life. Okay? And if the Lord says, do it, for Pete's sakes, obey. Okay? It doesn't always mean it's going to go there, in the basket. What it does mean is you listen to the Holy Ghost and obey Him. And the Spirit of love will carry you to the next level. If I'm angry inside my voice, it's because, you know what? I see so much of the old still alive in us. You hear me? The old religious traditions that carried me for years, I still see pieces of it. And I don't like what I see. I see it crop up when I least expect it. And it's not pretty. It stinks. Okay? So I'm not preaching just to you, I'm preaching to me. Verse 19. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Did you hear that? He knows Jesus already took care of all the problems of sin. Okay? Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence with God or before God and receive what? From Him anything we ask. So if you're in a spirit of death towards yourself, don't ask for anything because it's not going to happen. Because you're not in love with God's creation, namely you. Tough cookies. These are hard pills to swallow. But you know what? They're gospels. Take one daily. And you'll never go wrong. Because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. What pleases Him? When you start declaring, I am holy, I am righteous, I'm a saint under construction. That's what makes God happy. Oh, I'm a poor sinner crying out for mercy. BS. That's what I say to that. It's a pile of manure and it stinks in the Lord's nostrils. You hear me? So don't boo-hoo about how bad you were. Sure, start saying, thank you, Jesus, you healed me. Thank you, Jesus, you suffered for me. Thank you, Jesus, that whipping on that cross, one drop of that blood, one drop, set me free. Amen? Just all it said, it's just one drop. And it was done because of His love. Verse 22, 23. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. Those who obey His command live in Him. You better put a circle around there. Those who obey His command live in Him. And He in them. Do you understand? My Heavenly Father is inside of me, along with Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost, and they are complete in me, doing a work to change this world. And you know what? There's a recession going on. But I'm not joining. It's not a part of my future. You know, today, there was a confirming voice to something that was given to me a few weeks ago called The Perfect Storm by John Paul Jackson. And Larry Randolph, I've known for 20 years, had a very same similar message on the internet today. And I was excited because his comment, and by the way, I tried to print it out and my printer went nuts. And I said, okay, we'll just take it and we'll read it and then later on we'll go over it again. You know, sometimes the enemy just doesn't want the good news to get across. Huh? Yeah, well, what else is new? Because you know what? Larry, I remember Larry in the early 90s.
I spent some time with this man and one of his lady friends, who was a prophet lady from Washington State. And Larry shared with us about some of his trials and how he almost went insane. He went just on the edge of insanity because he just couldn't handle the revelations that God was doing with him. And it started with him when he was very young. So the patterns of obedience for him have been very, very demanding. And he made a confession. He says, you know, he says, for those who love the Lord and have a relationship with Him, a harmony with Christ, they're going to be in the ark of safety. Well, those are the words Gino used to preach always. He used to come and comment constantly. You're in the ark of safety. Stop worrying. We had people piling up dry goods and buying canned goods in case we had some kind of a problem. And guess what? They had to throw it all out because it all expired. And, you know, such stupidity. Jesus is returning in 88, and 88 Reasons was a best bookseller. What for? If Jesus is praying to keep us in the earth, why would somebody want to pull us out? They want an escape. They don't want to be accountable. They don't want to be a part of the new kingdom that will establish righteousness in the earth. That's part of the problem. And you see, I also got blessed. I saw Jim Baker on the air today. I think Dale sent me something. It was so cool. Oh, it was so cool. Because, you know, I had a flashback. I had a flashback of that day when he was pulled off the throne and thrown away to the dogs. And believe me, I had seen Jezebel in action. And honest to God, I saw myself instantly when I saw the ad, you know. I pushed the button to listen to him, and Irene walked in from work. And she had just gone upstairs, and I yelled to her, and I says, honey, would you come down? You need to see this. And it's only a 3-minute video. That's all it is. But you know what? It was such a blessing. Because instantly, as I'm listening to him, I'm in Gino's office. And I was so broken because that man was so used in so many ways to bless me and to bless so many. I mean, you know, I had people that were born again and spirit-filled in that place. And I know the anointing of God was there. And he began to speak, and all of a sudden I felt the anointing. And I remember my words to Gino. Gino, do you think this is really the end for this man? I says, and I'm going to speak up. I don't believe it's the end. I believe there's much more for this man to do. And today, I heard his comments about God and the anointing when he went back to Heritage. And he was with the believers there. And he says, the Holy Spirit said to him, you're to give your mantle to these that have been anointed to carry the next level for Heritage USA. That's a man of God. He's willing to give up what he's got and then impart it to those that are preparing for the next level. And then he made an awesome declaration. He says, God is going to use that area to spread the word of God throughout the earth. That was the original commission that he had from the Lord. And he says, and I remember that very first satellite. I remember I was there. And I was there with my two boys. And you know what? The anointing in that place was so intense, I never forgot it. I don't ever want to forget it. So don't think somebody's washed up because they made a boo-boo. Jesus already took care of that boo-boo 2,000 years ago. He did not fail. You say, well, why did it all fall? Because it needed to fall. Why did it fail? Because it needed to fail. Okay? It's not the end of the world. God knows how to resurrect. And you know, he also pointed out a couple of things. He says, my wife and I listened for 3 minutes. That's only 3 minutes. And you know what? It was a 3 minutes of heaven. Because of God releasing a truth in the earth. You know, that truth was, he's going to jail, but it's not the end. I I've seen people go to jail, and it was the place they found the Lord. It was the place that God chose for them to find Christ Jesus. So don't be despairing about what God's going to do in our land and in our country. He's not bent out of shape over these people that are maybe choosing to do something that they think is God, or that they might even think is godly. Because you know what? The Holy Spirit is definitely still in charge. He's not bent out of shape. He's not worried about tomorrow. Every single time. There was another man that was on this week, and I don't remember his name, so please forgive me. It's not because I don't want to recognize who he is. But he was on, and he was talking about his press from God to study all of the people that were mightily blessed in seasons of famine. There was a famine in the land when Abraham was sent out. And Abraham gave his best. He gave his wife. That's all he had. He called her his sister, and she was. But you know what? In the midst of that famine, Egypt gave up its goods because of this woman that Abraham gave. Reluctantly, but he obeyed. Yeah. How many have ever given their wife or their husband to the Lord? Put your hand way up, please. And guess what? He's still in the process of restoration. He's still in the process of recreation. Yes. I remember the day that I said to the Lord, what am I going to do with this woman? And you know what? He said, she's my daughter. Give her to me. Don't take advantage of this now, you guys. I know. I saw the elbow. All teasing aside, how long do you hold on when you gave somebody to God? As long as it takes. As long as it takes. I can remember many, many times saying to the Lord, how long is it going to be? He said, didn't I tell you my mercy would provide everything you need every single day for as long as you need to hold on? And he did. He did. And by the way, your vision about the little boy is a confirming voice to a dream that my wife had. Yeah. And it's right on target. So it's not insane. It's right on target. There are times that God will use some of the things that you guys tell as a piece of information that comes, and I don't always respond to it because it's so private that I can't. But there are other times that I can say, thank you. And so I say to this young lady right now, thank you. Because what you're confirming is God is going to use me to bring this son up. He's going to rise and he's going to walk. And it does not happen to be a man. Okay? Chapter 4, verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many, did you hear? Many, many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in, and I would dare to tell you, in your flesh, in my flesh, is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. So Antichrist was working 2,000 years ago. Is he working now? It's the anti-anointed one. The one that tries to shut off your anointing. The one that tries to cut out
your anointing from God and your obedience to God. That's who Antichrist is. And the Antichrist can be in your own house and can be in your own flesh. How can it be in me? Did you ever listen to what came out of your mouth in a moment of anger? Or rebellion? Or lawlessness? So where's Antichrist? How far do you have to go? How long do you have to wait? Catching on? Your traditions are what? Being exposed right now. And I'm not trying to down anyone. I'm trying to say, let the Word of God give you the truth. Okay? Verse 2, I want to repeat. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God, and have overcome them, because the one who is in you, who is the one that's in you? Yes, is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world, and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Cool, isn't it? This is how you recognize. And you know, there are times that the Antichrist spirit is going to be alive in those that you know, that you love, and have had, let's say, wrong teaching. Maybe they really believe where they're coming from is right on target, and it may not be your job to expose it. It may be your job to love them, right where they're at. Because the Lord said to me this morning, I said, is there anything you need to me to do today, Lord? And he says, love my Catholic brothers and sisters. Just love them today. They're hurting. Yeah, they're hurting. Now, sometimes I would have liked to readjust their faces a little bit, but I would have to repent, and that would not be God. But you know what? I was right where they are at one time in my life, and it's okay. It's perfectly okay. Verse 7, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world, and that we might live through him. There you are in Christ. That we might live through him. Try it on. I will live my life through Christ. That's cool. Isn't it? And when you're in his anointing, everything is sweet. And even your attitude will get sweeter. Amen? But if you're not in him, your attitude's going to be what? Sour. I like that word. Now, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us. Circle the in. And his love is made complete in me. His love is made complete inside of me. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his spirit. That's your proof. That's your deposit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. It's automatic. And so we know that rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. In this world, I am like him. I react like him. I respond like him. I give love to those that don't deserve it. I intercede for those who are misbehaving. I intercede and pray for those who insulted me. And I set them free and let God heal them. And that way, I stay healed. Now, verse 18 is the most important one. There is no fear in love. I repeat, there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear. Perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So, when I read that many years ago, the Lord clamped me down. I mean, he nailed me. He said, you cry out you want to be perfected, and you can't stand so-and-so. Guess what? He nailed me to the wall. What are you going to do about it? Well, Lord, they just don't understand me. He says, if I gave them revelation to understand you, then, he says, would you think you'd change your attitude? And I really pondered on that because I didn't know how to respond. He says, your pride's in your way. And pride comes before, eh? Guess who was guilty? So there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment or torment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. Well, guess what? I saw the lie in me. And then I began to do surgery. Cutting out my places of anger and offense and asking God to give me a new opinion of that person. And begin to walk in that person's shoes. And I began to see the weaknesses in that person. And the Lord says, guess what? You're now on the right track. Intercede for them until they're free. And while you're praying for them, I'm going to do like I did with Job. I'll give you double. Woo-hoo. How many want a double anointing? Well, then guess what? The recipe's no different for you. And I'll leave it there. Father, they've had enough. But I'm asking your Holy Spirit to take this home in them and give them that lift that they need to be able to go higher than they've ever gone before. And not to bow to that demon spirit of fear that torments them day and night about how sinful they are. Bless them, Father. Strengthen them. And whoever listens to this message, Father, let them take it to heart and listen to the truth of God's victory over death, over sin, and over fear. In Jesus' name.